the fear of the Lord qualifies man for entrustment with divine secrets or wisdom. It qualifies you to be trusted with divine secrets or wisdom. The fear of God qualifies man for entrustment with divine secrets or wisdom. That is, if you fear God, you can be trusted with the secrets of God. You can be trusted with his heartbeat. He knows that you won't market it, you won't sell it, you won't merchandise it. You won't be arrogant with it. You won't look down on others because you have it. Am I communicating? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Psalm 25 verse 9 verse 12. And he will show them his covenant. Go from verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? 25:12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Go on. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them what he doesn't show others. That is, you don't talk too much. Come, let me show you some things. You are not flippant with insight. Let me show you some things. You are not ostentatious and braggadocious. Let me show you some things. He said, cast not holy things to dogs. Or cast your spell. Neither cast your spell before the swine. So, devotion to God. And I define the fear of the Lord on Sunday. I don't have the time now, but you can go through that message. But the fear of God involves a healthy reverence and respect for the person and principles of God. Healthy reverence and respect. The fear of God involves a conscience that is awake and alive, not a dead conscience. Okay, is there? The fear of the Lord causes you to live in the consciousness of consequences of life's actions. The fear of God is an allergy to evil and addiction to good. We said all of that, I believe, on Sunday. Somebody say amen. So true devotion to God, you move in a wisdom that is beyond your age. Number two, how does wisdom come? True revelation. First is devotion. Second is revelation. Through the revelation of scriptures. The revelation of scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 5 to 6. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep this commandment, these statutes, therefore, and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Receiving what God said, doing it is your wisdom. It is your understanding in the sight of the nations. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. He said, from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So scriptures makes wise. It enwisens descent. Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. The so-called carnal wise men. They are dismayed and they are taken. Why? They have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is left in them? Nothing. They have rejected the word of the Lord. They can't have any wisdom. He who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to a wise man. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Hearing the sayings, doing the sayings, positions you for wisdom. This is beautiful. Luke chapter 11, verse 49. It said, then saith, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Talking about the word of God, he called it the wisdom of God. Three things to note about revelation of scriptures and what they do to wisdom. One, the word of God is the container of the thought, plan, will, and purpose of God. Is the container of the thought, the will, the plan, the purpose of God. And to be in touch with the thought of God is to be in touch with the wisdom of God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. My ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Then in verse 11, he showed us what that thought is now. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. The word of God is the container of the thought of God. Whenever you are in touch with the book, you are in touch with the thought process of God. That is why some of the wisest men that ever existed, Solomon of old, and others like that, were men and women of the world. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, no king will be wise enough to rule without a copy of the Bible. After you have mentioned George Washington, the next person to mention is Abraham Lincoln, as far as star presidents of America are concerned. Is the container of the thought of God. Second, the word of God transmits the spirit of wisdom. Or rather, the word of God transmits the spirit of God, and the spirit of God is the spirit of wisdom. The word of God transmits the spirit of God, and the spirit of God is the spirit of wisdom. John chapter 6, verse 63. The words, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is the spirit, carries the spirit of God. And what is the spirit of God? Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And that spirit of the Lord is the spirit of wisdom. Fellowshipping with the word is fellowshipping with the spirit of God, and fellowshipping with the spirit of God is fellowshipping with the spirit of wisdom. Somebody say amen. Are you getting anything at all? All right, thirdly, the word of God exposes godly and wise decision-making processes in scripture. It exposes godly and wise decision-making processes throughout scripture. So you come across decision-making processes. I'll give you two examples. Example number one, the example of the prostitutes that slept on their children. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 23 to verse 28. That was a wise decision-making process. This one said, a child that is alive is my own. The other one said, a child that is alive is my own. Solomon said, both of you are dragging the child. Bring me a sword. And he said, I'm about to divide the child so that each of you will get half. The wicked, hardened prostitute. The Bible says both of them are prostitutes. The hardened one. Say, yes, go ahead, king, divide it. Let the child be not mine, let it not be hers.
The other woman said, the Bible says, her boils yearned upon her son. If you carry that child for 9 months and you labor to bring the child out, nobody can kill the child in your eyes. It's better for the child to be alive and be in the custody of another person than for me to labor in vain and bring forth for trouble. Sir, don't kill the child. Give the living child to her. I'll be okay with that. And the king said, Madam, take your child. You are the owner. And give the Lord the praise. You are the owner. And give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. The Bible says, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him. Iron sharpeneth iron. When you see such a process, you don't read that. You don't just read it as a story. It sharpens your mentality. So that when you are at a crossroad, at the junction where a decision must be made, on the spur of the moment, just wisdom springs up. He said in Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 5, he said, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. That is, wisdom is inside. A man of understanding will draw it out. It will draw it out. A man of understanding will draw it out. Another decision-making process was John chapter 8, if you read from verse 1, but I'm emphasis verse 7 to 11. The woman caught in adultery. Anybody who has never sinned in his life cast the first stone. And they were all watching. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground again. Some theologian said he was writing the sins of all of them. Since he knows everybody, from the old one, thief, person, wife, stealer, cheat. It was, by the time he lifted up his eyes, all of them have gone, beginning with the oldest. Where are those who accused you? None. Neither do I condemn you. And in this action, I am not condemning you, and I am not commending you. I didn't say you did the right thing, but I'm not going to send you to hell. Just go and do it no more. I give you a second chance. You are meant to have died. When you see such a decision-making process, it sharpens your mentality that you can deal with the sin and spare the sinner. Am I communicating at all? It sharpens your mentality. It sharpens your understanding. That there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. You may not be found in the same kind of situation, but you are found in another situation. That is what scriptures does to me. If somebody is preaching and you are hearing revelation from scripture, next time you are looking at another scripture, revelation begins to come out because you have just been sharpened from another scripture. Somebody say aloud, amen. I prophesy to you today, next time you study the scripture, wisdom shall jump at you. And when you are at a decision-making point, you will know exactly what to say, and you will know exactly what to do. If you are a believer, shout the loudest amen. If you are a believer, shout the loudest amen. If you are the believer, shout the loudest amen.